Today's May 3rd, 2026. Current Bitcoin price is $78,661.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, just living the dream.
I do want to start off with an apology. We would have recorded last week, but unfortunately, I was out of pocket. So we're trying to get back to you. But unfortunately, too, at the same time, like not a whole lot has been going on. I mean, I guess prices are looking okay, but it's
solid.
Yeah, it's been a weird month. I think everybody's just kind of living in uncertainty right now.
Well, basically, the start of spring, or actually since the end of February when the United States attacked Iran, I mean, it's just been kind of, I don't know, just everything just feels so messed up. It seems like we're sleepwalking into World War III sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's the world feels like it's holding its breath.
Yeah.
And it's definitely an odd time, but I wouldn't say there's serious momentum, but it seems like things have been on the upswing. Let's look at our theoreticals first off. What are we looking at right now?
Well, theoreticals are doing pretty well compared to recent past. I mean, we're kind of getting close to 80 grand. So the first theoretical purchase back in October 2023, $3,000 could have bought you 0.0885 Bitcoin. And that $3,000 investment is now worth $6,961. I could have sworn like within the past month, we saw it get down to below 6,000. So we're basically jumped $1,000 in its price.
Yeah.
Or in its value. So, second theoretical, which was bought over 2 years ago, the halving, the previous halving in April 19th, 2024, put $1,000 down, and right now that, you know, $1,000, which would be 0.01564 Bitcoin, is now worth 1,230. So, not exactly gangbusters, but you're still positive.
Yeah. I mean, it's better to see the numbers that way, where it's a little bit higher up. Let's see. And I want to look and see. Yeah. So when we recorded back on April 3rd, so about a month ago, that first theoretical buy was at 5,920.
Yep. So it's gained over 1,000.
So that's looking pretty good. We were looking at the ETFs kind of a little bit before we got going too. We're seeing a lot more black, but we did have some sell-offs that look like they took place on the 27th, 28th, and 29th. But other than that, we've had positive inflow days. They're not, they're big, but they're not huge by any means. May 1st was actually decent. 629 million. So, yeah, there's just, I don't know. We were talking about that too before we got going. I think you made a observation and you were mentioning something that a lot of what we're talking about here, there's anecdotal evidence, but we're not seeing anything concrete. But you know, like even kind of people going out, it seems like it's reduced.
Well, I play in a band and you know, I go to different places, and it's kind of weird in the schedule. Usually I'm at a place maybe once a month, maybe once every other month, and I was just at a place that we play at pretty frequently, I wouldn't say 2 weekends in a row. It was like just a week off in between. And both nights recently, I mean, there's just not many people coming out. The previous time back when we played there in March, the place was packed. Like you couldn't have gotten a seat if you wanted, if you came in late.
Really?
So, yeah.
And it's not like, I mean, there was anything special, I don't think, this weekend. I mean, the Kentucky Derby, but, you know, it's like, that's not affecting a band going out at night. Like, I think people are a lot more cautious with their spending. I was kind of talking about that before too. I think a lot of people we've had people living off, I think a lot of people are living off debt right now, and they haven't gotten any relief from that.
No, if anything, the prices are going up, so.
Yeah, I think we saw something about the United States economy grew by 2%, so they were saying, oh, it's so resilient, but it's like, that's still not even keeping up with inflation.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I'm not overly optimistic about anything that's going on. I mean, it's good to see Bitcoin kind of, we were concerned. I want to say it was supposed to be at the end of, was it supposed to be the end of March where we were expecting a down, a sell-off?
Yes. Something pretty big. I mean, that was kind of, some theoretical people were looking at some charts and looking over the previous cycles, and usually, you know, they were putting this information out before the war with Iran came out or, you know, got going. But it's kind of interesting that it looked like it was ready to start really going down. I mean, I wouldn't say way, way down, but, you know, in the 50s, we at least saw 60. I kind of bounced off 60, but it never got much lower. And I kind of wonder, you know, I'm thinking to myself that this war and this uncertainty and everything else, it's making a lot of people, especially in the Middle East, purchase some Bitcoin and try and, you know, have some type of backup plan. And I'm pretty sure Rand is definitely using that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're right on, because I think there's probably, I don't know, it's interesting. I was expecting that leg down, and I think we talked about it on the podcast, where we would see kind of that last shakeout to bottom out for the cycle. And that would probably take us through summer, where we'd kind of just trade sideways and then start to build back up going into Q3, going into Q4, start to rise back up. We didn't see that major sell-off in that sense. So, and I think you're right. I think between what's been going on with Iran and then perhaps strategy purchases, is keeping Bitcoin kind of higher, but it's hard to say. Like right now we're approaching the highest weekly close that we've seen since January. We're hovering right around, I mean, we kissed 79,000 for just a brief moment and then we kind of sold back off, but we're still kind of in that uncertainty range. Like where are we going to decide we're going to go? If we get a close above 78,670 today, then that's going to be a multi-month high for Bitcoin right now.
Yep.
Which seems likely.
Yep. Well, I just have a thought occur to me, Hans. You know, it's May 3rd right now. We're 6 months away from the American election, at least the midterms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just with everything that's going on in the country, I mean, Trump's poll numbers have never been lower.
Oh, I'm sure.
They're there right now. And with that kind of energy going into the midterms, I have a feeling that the Democrats are basically going to take, you know, they're going to at least get the House of Representatives. I think there's a good chance they can even get the Senate too. If that happens, what do you think the price of Bitcoin's going to go?
Down?
I would say down. Maybe, I don't know, you know, sometime, you know, in the last quarter of the fourth year, or the, you know, 2026, that's when we should really expect the low. And maybe that's what the catalyst for the cycle low is going to be.
It's just that, just that switch over. And I mean, and that's definitely a possibility. Man, I think part of that depends too on regulations that come into play. You know, if we actually are able to get some other things passed through legislation, like to actually kind of protect Bitcoin against the political fight that could happen, you know, if the Democrats take over again. But we'll have to wait and see exactly how that's going to play out. And I think you're right. I don't see Trump right now. He needed, and this is my opinion, and by no means is this political accuracy, because I'm not a politician or I'm not a political science major, but I think this whole thing with Iran has grown out longer than what he was expecting. And I think there was unforeseen consequences, second and third order consequences that he didn't think about. I feel.
Well, I'm pretty sure people were telling him that this was going to happen and he ignored them.
You think so?
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Have you seen J.D. Vance much anywhere?
No, I just, what was it? We had the White House correspondence assassination attempt a week ago or whatever.
Yeah.
He hasn't said anything. He failed at his diplomatic talks. What was that, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah. Well, the story is, I mean, this is all rumor. But the story is that J.D. Vance was actually one of the guys that was really against this Iran strike.
Mm-hmm.
But he was ignored. And I mean, right now, with the way things are going, J.D. Vance is done. There's no way he's going to be president in 2028.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's the political theater of everything that's happening is really fascinating, but the consequences of our actions are really tragic for a lot of people in the Middle East and the rest of the world that can't get their oil.
Yeah.
So.
No, I completely agree with that. Like I said, and I think those unforeseen consequences about all the oil distribution that takes place through the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, United States, as much as they say, you know, we're protected because we have our own reserves and we can produce our own oil. Problem is, I mean, our prices at the gas tank are still pretty high. I still don't think it's quite as high as what it was under Biden during the crazy inflation that we saw, but it's close.
It's going towards it for sure.
Yeah, I think we saw it as high as $4.99 for regular unleaded during Biden's in our area.
The initial stages of the Ukraine war.
Yeah, and I think right now we're sitting at, what, 416 or something like that?
Yeah, it was 430 just a couple of days ago.
And right now, looking at the oil prices, we're looking at $102 a barrel still. So we're over $100. It's not crazy, but it's still higher than where we were over a month ago, right?
Right.
Michael Saylor's strategy is actually pause BTC purchases this week. And that was breaking of a 4-week buying streak, but he's supposed to resume this next week. Right now, he's sitting at 818,334 Bitcoin, worth over $64
billion. Wow.
So, I mean, that's a huge implication as to why some of the price hasn't gone down. If he continues to buy up some of that, I still think he's going to get over 1 million Bitcoin before the end of the year. Franklin Templeton projects Bitcoin will recover from above 100,000 in 2026, citing institutional demand and clear U.S. regulations. So that's kind of interesting. That would be opposite of what we're expecting, especially based off what you were saying with the midterms. However,
well,
go ahead.
I think it could still potentially get somewhere like that. I mean, maybe November it dumps and then for the rest of the year it pumps.
Yeah. Yeah, the cycle is just so different. That's all I can say. Like I said, there's not a whole lot of news. So the regulatory policy development. So right now, Clarity Act, we've been talking about that. We've been tracking that. And right now, it looks like the long-awaited Bitcoin and crypto market structure bill, which is known as Clarity Act, is likely to advance this month. And actually, Polymarket is reflecting the same thing, where they were showing previously it was at 40%, now it's at 70% that it'll pass in the month of May. So that would be positive news if they can get that bill across the goal line. There's still a lot of concerns that I have with that because there still is not an outright ban of a CBDC. So I don't know. It seems like they've stopped fighting for the consumer about being able to keep the yield from their stable coins, which is the unfortunate thing. Bankers are going to get their way, basically.
Yeah.
And then the other part that we have is that we have Jerome Powell is going to be exiting the Fed. And Warsh is going to be coming in. And apparently he's very hawkish right now. I don't know if that means that interest rates would remain the same or if we'd look at a reduction. I'm not sure. And last I had heard on that, I thought Jerome Powell was going to stay in position until Trump dropped the court cases against him. But I could be wrong on that, obviously.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. on that.
So,
but you know, every time that Trump gets mad at Powell, is like, you're the one who nominated him to the Fed chair back when you were president in 2016. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then I think next episode that we record, hopefully we'll have some, we'll have inflation numbers again, CPI. We'll have to take a look at that and see. If it's not that next episode, it'll be the episode after. I'm curious to see how everything's looking. U.S.-Iran war dynamics continue to be weird. Friday's optimism around a potential peace agreement boosted Bitcoin, but Trump expressed skepticism about Iran's latest proposal. And I have no idea what they're asking for now.
I have no idea. And just following Trump's Truth Social posts, it just feels like he's literally gone insane. And I feel dumber every time I read them.
I was talking with a Canadian on the airplane the other day. And obviously, they're still very much like they don't like Trump. And I'm still like, and I hate to dive into politics on this, but we've been talking about it a lot lately, but it's hard not to with everything that's going on. I'm still, I wouldn't say I'm quite completely regretting my vote for Trump yet, but I'm close.
I'm pretty much there.
You know, like it's still like, I'm like, I don't know if Kamala would have been better. I'm not happy with the performance. And I think about that considering how optimistic I was at the beginning. And I think we've mentioned that, but when you came out and you had like basically like this amazing team with Trump, you know, you had RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, you had Elon Musk, like all this stuff was going to happen. And very little bit of it has come to fruition.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a more conservative fiscal policy. That hasn't happened.
Nope.
I was hoping to purge some of the muck out of the government, you know, close down some groups that didn't need to be there, fraud, waste, abuse, all that stuff.
I thought his campaign slogan was entrench the swamp. Oh wait, no, it was drain the
swamp. Drain the swamp, yeah. I think that's where it was supposed to go, not just keep it in place. And back when he made the quote, be careful of how much we cut because we need to get reelected, I think that's where I was like, oh, shit. I'm pardon my French on that.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's weird times. I mean, I'm glad we're still sitting at a fairly decent level right now. What the future is going to hold, I'm not entirely sure. And obviously, this isn't financial advice, but what are you looking at? Are you still saying, like, maybe hold off till Q4 if you were going to make a bigger purchase in Bitcoin?
The world is so crazy right now. I would just dollar cost average.
Yeah.
For as far as you can go. I mean, if you had a ton of money, then I would get some now. I think whatever you buy now, we're kind of in the downturn in another 4 years, you know, we're going to be in the downturn, but in 3 years, you're going to be looking pretty nice. So, well, even 4 years from now, it'll be in the downturn, but you'll hopefully have gained quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, remember last year's cycle or the last cycle when we were in the downturn, you know, we were in like 20s right now.
Yeah.
This time last year.
The last cycle.
If you would have bought then, yeah. If you would have bought now and you're like, oh man, my Bitcoin investment's down to $78,000, you know, you'd be doing pretty good.
Well, and so, I mean, oh man. So what would next downturn, if we're looking at this and we're mirroring forward, you think we'd be like 120,000 now as of the downturn?
Somewhere in there. That maybe seems, even higher.
Yeah. Seems likely like right around 120, 100, 150 possibly. I don't know. It's so weird.
Well, that just depends also on how crazy the fiat currencies and, you know, all the central banks. It's been kind of crazy how low, or the returns that we got this cycle were pretty suppressed, it felt like. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if they keep printing and, you know, this war phase state keeps going and the there's going to be some type of break and they're just going to print like crazy. And if you have like a hard asset, like gold, silver, and Bitcoin, I think you're going to do, I wouldn't say you're going to do well. I mean, you're going to get crushed everywhere else, but your investment in Bitcoin's going to be paying off.
Yeah.
Personal opinion.
If you, I think it's hard not to talk about AI in this bubble, mainly because, and I hate to use the word term bubble, but I think we are in a bubble. I don't think there's any denying that. And that doesn't mean that AI is necessarily going to go away. But when you have all these companies, these AI companies investing with each other, because that's where the money's kind of going, like they're going in a giant circle with each other. I'm giving money to, like, you know, you get so much for OpenAI that they got this much in investing rounds. They're going to put this much money into NVIDIA to create better chips. And NVIDIA is going to pay this much more for silicone, whatever the case may be, right? Like, I mean, whatever the rare earth metals, whatever that case may be, like they continue to kind of just cycle around each other. And at some point, like you start to think of the dot-com bubble that we kind of all went through, and you know, just because the dot-com bubble burst and like there were so many companies that kind of went under and lost so much cash, a lot of investors got wiped out. That doesn't mean that the internet stopped being the internet and now it's huge, right? So
yeah, it's way bigger than it was back then. When is everything, it was just kind of it was lemmings off a cliff. People were just buying anything dot-com stock.
Yeah.
That's just, I think right now everyone's buying AI stock and everything associated with it.
Yeah, and they're latching AI into everything. If you watch the news or if you watch any type of advertisement, they're like, oh yeah, our new AI tools, AI. Everybody's implementing AI, but they're not all doing it very well. Like, at what point do you think that that bubble will break? And they say that's another big part of that is that a lot of the investment that's coming into AI right now is coming out of the Middle East.
Really?
Yeah. Right. Because those nations realize that oil may not always be the strongest play in the future. So they were trying to get in on something else.
Now that makes sense. I mean, one of these days oil will be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's more incentive for that to happen right now than ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so you got to think about that. Like, maybe not so much in the United States. Like, we saw the big backlash against the electric vehicle mandate. But now people that are sitting in, say, Australia, if they have an electric car, they're looking pretty smart right now.
Mm-hmm.
We know China, they can make those electric vehicles hand over fist. And apparently, from what I understand, and I haven't gotten to drive one or anything like that, but like the electric vehicles that they've released in Canada, they're supposed to be pretty nice and really a fraction of the price of what you can get for an internal combustion engine vehicle. How well they last, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But that's always something to think about. Like when you look at China, in order to be able to manufacture, like, and I think Tesla's done this, in order to manufacture in China, you've got to let the government into your operation. So, I mean, anything that you may have that is cutting edge, they're just going to take it and repackage it.
Yeah, it's a deal with the devil, basically.
Yeah, I've always heard it like China's like a cover band. They don't have any original hits. They just take what everybody else has done and just kind of put their own little spin on it.
Yep.
And I know we've talked about that before. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot to add other than that.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's just kind of, we're in that holding pattern. Things are a little bit, I mean, it's somewhat crazy, but somewhat, you know, everything's just kind of playing out and nobody knows what direction things are going.
Yeah, if somebody tells you they know where it's going, I think you probably need to stop listening to them.
Or just write down what they say and then just wait.
Yeah. And by no means are we're not, the only thing that we love Bitcoin, but by no means are we market experts. We're not traders. We're not anything like that. Like when I buy Bitcoin, I dollar cost average. I don't have enough time to sit there and monitor the charts the way that some people do. And I hope we're bringing a little bit of signal through all the noise that's going on.
Yeah.
Like, we're not trying to hype, like, we do like Bitcoin and we base it off of what we've seen historically in the past. I'm obviously a little bit more bullish than what Rick is, because I'm like super bullish all the time, but, it's just where it's going. I have no idea. We were talking to, and I guess we might as well bring this up, Crypto Fear and Greed Index. Right now we're sitting at a 45. Yesterday we were at a 46, which is neutral. It's neutral today. Last week was a 46. Last month we were at a 28, which was fear. And we were looking at this, and we haven't been actually like in extreme greed, because usually that's when the sell-off will happen. We haven't been in extreme greed since January or December of 2024. So we've been pretty suppressed. We were extreme fear, it looks like, on February 7th. That was our low. And then we kind of rallied back up out of fear. And basically, we came up out of fear on April 7th. And we've kind of stayed there. We did get into some greedy territory, it looks like, on April 16th and April 23rd. But yeah. No clue exactly where we're going.
Oh, we're just here for the ride, Hans.
We are here for the ride. And to encourage people, like, if you haven't already, at least get some exposure to Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
But that's probably true of most investments right now. Getting some harder metals or harder assets, I should say. Harder metals. Well, obviously, you know, we're talking about gold and silver, but it's metal. Anything else you want to add today?
I think that's it.
All right, brother. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll continue to be with you on this journey, and we will see where the market takes us.
Bye.